Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Monday. This is Seattle Now. Starbucks' new CEO, Lakshman Narasimhan, is at the helm, but it will be Howard Schultz on Wednesday answering a Senate panel's questions about the company's alleged union busting. KUOW's labor and economy reporter Monica Nicholsberg is here to break it down. But first, let's get you caught up. The Senate Law and Justice Committee could vote as soon as this week on a bill to ban assault-style firearms in Washington. Opponents of the proposal outnumbered supporters at a hearing in Olympia last week. The ban passed the state House earlier this month. Nine other states have enacted similar legislation. The group formerly known as the Seattle Audubon Society will be announcing their new name this week. They're one of several chapters of the bird conservation group that have voted to drop Audubon from their name, citing ties to white supremacy and slavery from the group's namesake. The National Audubon Society recently voted to keep its name. The Seattle chapter's new name will be fully legally adopted by the group in June. And depending on where you are, you may notice your parking is a bit more expensive. The city's new on-street parking rates take effect today. You could be paying as much as a dollar more. SDOT adjusts rates seasonally to keep spaces open, and there are a lot more cars looking for parking these days. You could see price bumps in the afternoon and evening, but SDOT says in general, your parking is still less than what many people were paying pre-pandemic. Starbucks has been in the news a lot lately. Former CEO Howard Schultz stepped down early recently and is scheduled to testify this week before a Senate Labor Committee about the company's response to unionization efforts. A day before incoming CEO Lakshman Narasimhan held his first shareholder meeting, Starbucks workers went on strike and demonstrated in front of the company's headquarters. KUOW labor and economy reporter Monica Nicholsberg is here to help us make sense of what new leadership could mean for the company. Monica, really glad you're here. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
So later this week, former CEO Howard Schultz will be testifying in front of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. What is the Senate investigating there?
So the National Labor Relations Board recently found widespread misconduct in how Starbucks has handled union activity at some of its stores. And Senator Sanders has really come out as a very vocal critic of the company, spearheading this inquiry into what he says are union busting tactics.
And what do you expect to come out of this hearing, like you said, pushed by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders?
Well, hearings are more about making noise and getting attention, in my experience, than really making news. But that being said, this is the most pro-labor administration that we've seen in decades. And under current law, the labor board is really limited in what it can do to penalize companies for union busting. They can't really levy fines or anything like that. All they can do is force companies to rehire employees that have been illegally fired and pay back wages. So it is possible that Starbucks could become a bit of an example here. I don't know that directly from this hearing we're going to see massive change, but this renewed attention on union activity and alleged union busting could possibly eventually lead to greater enforcement authority.
Interesting. Howard Schultz still maintains a seat on Starbucks' board, but new CEO Lakshman Narasimhan took over the day-to-day. What do we know about his leadership so far? What has he signaled?
We don't know that much about him. He's new to the company. He's spent the past couple of months training, including getting a barista certification. And before joining Starbucks, he was a longtime executive at companies like PepsiCo. But that's kind of all that we know so far.
He led his first shareholder meeting last week, right after those protests. Monica, tell me about that meeting. What happened?
Well, the beginning of it was kind of a long commercial for Starbucks, including a lot of promotion around this olive oil latte, which is inexplicable to me, but to each his own.
Same.
But when things got a little bit spicy is when the shareholders' resolutions started to get introduced. So these are proposals that investors can put forward, and if they get enough support among the investor community, then typically the company will address them during the meeting. One of those proposals was focused on what we've been talking about, this idea of union busting. And it would require Starbucks to launch an investigation into workers' rights and its labor practices.
This is interesting. It's not the first time these kinds of proposals have come up from shareholders. What kind of power does it actually have? What could potentially happen from here?
Well, these proposals are typically voted down, and the companies almost always recommend voting them down. Typically, what they'll say is, we're already doing something like that, so this isn't necessary. And that is how they responded to this particular proposal. They said, we're already launching an even broader human rights investigation, so we don't really need this proposal. Here's Zabrina Jenkins from the shareholder meeting talking about it.
We're committed to undertaking an independent, third-party human rights impact assessment that will include a deeper level review of the principles of freedom of association and the right to collective bargaining.
Okay, so the company says it's already following up on that concern.
But that being said, there is a lot of attention around this issue right now, and I don't think it's impossible that it could be approved.
Right. This was part of a larger action. Workers also held a one-day strike, as we mentioned. Tell us about that. Set the scene for us that day.
So when I got down there, there's already a big crowd in front of Starbucks headquarters chanting and picketing. There was a stage with live music and lots of cars driving by honking their horns in solidarity. And the crowd was a mix of Starbucks workers from Washington State, from out of state, as well as other unions who showed up to support, like the Teamsters and SEIU.
You spent some time talking with the workers. What were you hearing from them about why they were there and what they're hoping for?
A lot of them brought up the need for a contract. So almost 300 Starbucks stores have unionized across the country, but they do not have a contract yet. I spoke to Katie McCoy, who says she was actually fired for supporting a union at her store in Marysville, Washington. And she had a message for Starbucks that she shared with me.
My store is out here because we are ready for a contract, and we have been waiting over a year, and we have partners who, you know, have been waiting for over a year for this, and we've worked incredibly hard to be where we are, and so we're out here striking and asking for Starbucks to finally come to the table. My message to the new CEO is, you know, come to the bargaining table. We're ready, and this is an opportunity for him to really be a positive thing for Starbucks. We want to show, and I think this has been the goal for Starbucks workers, is that, like, just because you may not be taken seriously because you're a barista or a fast food worker, like, we are not people that should just be brushed under the rug. We are people who should be taken seriously, and we're here to fight for a living wage because we deserve as much as anyone else. We are just as, we are all human beings.
Interesting, Monica. You know, what can we interpret at this point from what Narasimhan is saying and doing right now about how he may approach this union organization differently than perhaps Howard Schultz?
It's a good question, and it's a little early to tell, but he says he wants to maintain a close connection with baristas. That includes actually committing to working a half shift per month in Starbucks stores. And he's also planning to continue this reinvention plan that was started by Schultz. That plan includes improving training and equipment, wages, other benefits. But I think it's important to note that a lot of those benefits, like credit card tipping, for example, which was something that the unionized workforce was really pushing for, a lot of those benefits are only going to be available at non-unionized stores. Starbucks says that's because they haven't negotiated a contract with the unionized stores, so they can't roll out these benefits. But the labor activists say that this is a way to kind of bribe stores into not unionizing.
Monica, let's get a sense right now, if you can, of where negotiations between Starbucks United and the company are.
I don't think they've made a lot of progress. Both sides at different times have said the other just needs to come to the table. But I think if both were at the table negotiating in good faith, they may have made more progress by now. I haven't been inside of those meetings, but I don't think anybody is happy with the progress.
Monica, did anybody you spoke to outside during the one-day strike or any partners even in non-unionized stores seem hopeful perhaps about some of these issues potentially getting settled with new leadership? What's the tone, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, it was a very optimistic tone, and a number of workers told me that they think this is a real opportunity for Starbucks to kind of walk the walk. It has long been known as a progressive company, and it pays pretty progressive wages and offers some other benefits, but its reputation has taken a real hit during all of this discussion about unionization. So many of the workers I spoke to said, you know, there's fresh leadership, we're at this inflection point, come to the table, let's sign a contract, and let's make this a new chapter for Starbucks.
Yeah, and Narasimhan definitely seems to sound like he's trying to be more approachable than what Howard Schultz has drawn over the years. All right, like we mentioned at the top, there are lots of buildup around the Schultz-Bernie Sanders showdown Wednesday. Will it deliver?
I think so. I think these are two very outspoken characters and both have a lot of experience in the political arena. I think we all remember when Howard Schultz launched his short-lived attempt at running for the presidency. So I'm expecting some fireworks, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we'll pour ourselves a strong cup of drip, Monica, and pay attention to that. Monica Nicholsberg is KUOW's labor and economy reporter. Really appreciate the insight. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. Today's episode was produced by Brooklyn Jamerson Flowers. The show is also produced by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Claire McGrain, Vaughn Jones, Jenny Cecil Moore, and Brandy Fullwood. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you tomorrow.